This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. The U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Carmen Ortiz, could soon be called before a congressional hearing to face the fire of members of Congress who've accused her of bringing a bullying and trumped-up federal case against internet activist and alleged hacker Aaron Swartz. Swartz hung himself last month while facing a possible trial on charges of hacking into an MIT computer and downloading millions of academic articles. His suicide and the publicity surrounding the case put the Swartz prosecution and Ortiz under the glare of national attention. And now Ortiz's office faces similar accusations of overzealousness, poor judgment, and a lack of supervision involving other cases. Those cases are the subject of an investigation by WBUR's David Boeri and David Frank of Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. In Part 1, David Boeri introduces us to a member of the selection committee that recommended Ortiz as a finalist for the job of U.S. attorney back in 2009.
You know what? She has, I think, been a disappointment.
Criminal defense attorney Tracy Minor is considered one of Boston's best. She has second thoughts about recommending Carmen Ortiz.
She had a really, really good reputation as a line agent, but it didn't translate up. Carmen does not make independent decisions. She lets her line agents and the line supervisor make the decisions for her, and it should be her call.
Minor says Ortiz's lack of supervision creates problems. Trial prosecutors often feel under pressure to win convictions. They need perspective in an objective analysis of their cases. They need a standard of fair play and decency, as a former Supreme Court justice once called it. Minor says that standard should be set and monitored from the top down.
You can ruin somebody's life by just charging them. I think she has an obligation to look at, was there gain to the defendant? Was there loss? And is this a crime that society cares about? Because not all crimes are created equal.
Minor points to the case of her client, John A. Nelson, a defendant in a mortgage fraud case. In 2010, he was charged with 29 counts of wire fraud and unlawful monetary transactions.
The crime is something we care about. We do care about mortgage fraud. But instead of taking the hard case, which would be to go after the banks, they tried to call the banks the victims.
The prosecutors went after the closing attorney. Minor calls him the guy at the end of the line, who made the same fee for that closing as he did for any other.
They had a snitch in that case that made millions on this mortgage fraud. He was the person that set these deals up, collected the cash, and walked away. The government made a deal with him to testify against John Nelson.
Minor contends the documents did not support Nelson's prosecution. But in a complaint we heard repeated by other attorneys in other cases, Minor said talking to Ortiz's prosecutors was like talking to a wall. When, during cross-examination, Minor asked the government's cooperating witness who his co-conspirators were, he answered, "That's my world, honey." He claimed he didn't know their last names. That set the stage for an extraordinary moment when federal judge Joseph Toro acquitted the defendant before the case ever went to the jury, and his directed verdict could not be appealed.
But for a judge to say these witnesses are so bad that nobody can believe them is extraordinary.
But here's U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz.
I don't believe the judge gave any reasons for his ruling. He just said, motion granted.
But the reason the defense gave for filing the motion was that the prosecution had presented no credible evidence. Judge Toro granted what's called a Rule 29 motion for acquittal. And for prosecutors to lose a Rule 29 motion is like hitting into a triple play, only twice in the same game. Tracy Minor says this was the only time she ever saw it. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner says she granted only 2 in 17 years on the bench. Ortiz's office has the dubious distinction of losing at least 3 Rule 29s in her 3 years as U.S. attorney. Here's Ortiz.
We will never know what would have happened with that case because the jury wasn't given the opportunity to hear the evidence and make the decision in that case.
Consider as well a set of sharp-tongued opinions the judges have delivered to Ortiz's prosecutors in her short tenure. Here's law professor Daniel Medwid of Northeastern University.
It's incredibly striking to have seasoned, respected judges saying, "I have never seen this," and then going so far as to put it in print in a public document. It does suggest where there's smoke, there might be fire, which is why an analysis of these cases is warranted.
Take the government's prosecution of Lorraine Henderson. She was Boston Port Director for U.S. Customs and Border Protection in December 2008 when she was arrested at her home. The reason? She had hired an undocumented woman from Brazil to clean her townhouse for a couple of hours a month. She's supposed to be deporting aliens, not hiring them, said the head of the U.S. Attorney's Public Corruption Unit. But federal judge Douglas Woodlock, though he let the case go to trial, would show his contempt for the prosecution. Here, a reader delivers Woodlock's statement, describing the case as
heedless, hapless, and negligent hypocrisy of the defendant confronting a stern, solemn, and implacable sanctimony of the government over a matter of household employment.
Hiring an illegal alien is in itself not a violation of the law, but Ortiz's office prosecuted Henderson for encouraging and inducing an illegal alien to remain in the United States. That was a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Again, from Judge Woodlock.
This is a cleaning lady. A cleaning lady, not Al Capone. There must be some sense of proportion.
Here was an experienced federal judge, and there would be more, declaring he had never seen the likes of what Ortiz and her prosecutors were doing. Judge Woodlock declared it the first time he knew of, anywhere, that someone was being charged with a felony for encouraging a housemaid to stay in the country. He saw it as a creative but dubious evasion of the intent of the statute. Again, from Judge Woodlock's statement.
I view the pursuit of this case to have been overkill. I'm puzzled by the dogged consistency which causes this prosecution to continue.
In its quest to catch Henderson, the government told a house cleaner she could be deported, but then gave her the opportunity to stay and work in the country in return for ensnaring Henderson on a secret recording device. Following instructions, the cleaning lady met Henderson, told her she was illegal, and asked what she should do. On tape, Henderson says, if you leave, they won't let you back, and you can't leave. Don't leave. That was the basis for Henderson being charged. Francis Demento is her attorney.
Simply to tell the alien, don't leave the country until you've filed your application to become legal is not an act. It's simply verbiage that doesn't amount to a crime.
But the jury convicted Henderson nonetheless in March 2010. At the sentencing hearing, Judge Woodlock scorched the government for trying to crush the defendant for a pedestrian crime. While Henderson was reduced to working part-time at PetSmart, the government granted the Brazilian woman the right to stay in the country to testify against the woman who had tried to help her. Finally, in April 2012, Woodlock ordered a new trial, concluding that
in the absence of some greater exercise of restraint by the prosecution in this case, it is necessary to conduct a new trial to assure proper judgment by the court.
Once again, a federal judge was admonishing Carmen Ortiz in her office. This one quoted the former U.S. Supreme Court Justice Robert Jackson. The prosecutor has more control over life, liberty, and reputation than any other person in America. Northeastern law professor Daniel Medwood.
Prosecutors don't win if they convict somebody. They win when justice is served. That may be a conviction, that may be an acquittal, that may be dropping the charges.
The judge in that case, right.
He did not like that case.
That's U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz. She wouldn't say more about the Henderson case, she explained, because it's still pending. She also declined to speak about the case of Aaron Swartz because it's being investigated by Congress. But she did respond to a series of sharply worded judicial opinions.
We have differing views. This is an adversarial system. We're here to prosecute. This is a tough business. This is not easy.
In an hour-long interview with Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly and WBUR, Ortiz was genial, confident, and ardent in defending herself and her office. We presented her with criticism like this from a former federal prosecutor. She's totally hands-off. There are some assistant U.S. attorneys who have developed these little fiefdoms and are basically able to push her around. Ortiz dismisses such critics, here responding to defense attorney Tracy Minor.
The fact that Tracy would say that the AUSAs are running amok or running me, I find that offensive, and it's a bit preposterous. I think people respect my authority, and I think everyone knows that when I need to make a decision, I make the decision.
Tomorrow, David Frank and I will look into more questions about the decisions Ortiz and her team made in other cases before the controversial prosecution of internet activist Aaron Swartz ended in his suicide. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.
To read the online report from Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly, go to WBUR.org and stay with WBUR at 3 p.m. today for Radio Boston, when WBUR's David Boeri and David Frank of Mass Lawyers Weekly discuss their investigation and take your phone calls. Again, that's this afternoon at 3 on WBUR.